Blog Talk Radio.
And we are lucky to be live here today on Blog Talk Radio because the website itself, blogtalkradio.com, has been the victim of a denial of service attack, which really put the website down for over an hour now. And they just got it back about 10 minutes ago. So hopefully we're broadcasting live. I think we are. And hopefully all of you out there can hear me because we have a very, very important show. We really do. And the chat room is open, so if you have any problems with the audio or problems at all, please let me know. And I'm in contact, actually, with the folks over at Blog Talk Radio, and we're trying to just make sure everything's okay. But everything sounds good, so I'm going to assume that everything is performing correctly here on Blog Talk Radio. The name of the show, of course, as you know, is Carson's Corner, and my name is Bob Carson. Tonight, it's all MMA here on the show. What we got coming up for you is the Dan Quinn update, our latest Dan Quinn update, which took place on the 10th of February. Now, people on Facebook are asking me whether or not Dan Quinn has been released because according to the Sacramento County Jail website, Dan Quinn was released today. I don't know. I have no idea. I haven't checked the website. I haven't heard from Dan. What I'll probably do is I'll probably reach out to Joan sometime tonight or tomorrow to confirm whether or not that's true. Because if that is true, then you know what that means, right? That means that you're going to have Dan Quinn live here on Carson's Corner in the foreseeable future. Now, we've never had Dan live, to my knowledge. We may have had him live once or twice, but you know, Dan pretty much got locked up right around the time that we were on Blog Talk Radio. Actually, we switched over to September 2011. And I can't remember too many times where Dan has been live on Carson's Corner with us receiving your phone calls. He has before, and many of you people out there have called to rev him up. But, you know, having Dan Quinn live is a surreal experience for everybody out there. And so we can anticipate that to happen in the future. If the news is true, he is out. This is a very, very good development in the ongoing story of Dan Quinn, because nobody wants Dan suffering in jail, in limbo, not knowing what's going on. And so we'll just have to kind of see what's happening there. But before we get to that, just some news here and some commentary in the world of mixed martial arts. You know, when we made the move to the Cage Junkies radio network at the request of our good friend Charles McCarthy, it's possible that we lost touch with some of the more, you know, quirky elements of the show that listeners love so much. Right now, we've been, as you know, on a semi-hiatus as we make adjustments to the MMA version, you know, with a view to moving forwards. We're in the master P stage called the cocoon phase of strategizing about a future or continuing endeavor. But like I said, we're going to put out a special show here tonight for you involving Dan Quinn. And before we do that, I just want to comment on some of the news that has been breaking with regards to MMA. We've got Chris Lieben making news, Nate Quarry, and you've got UFC 170 coming up this week. And Chris Lieben made headlines and drew some criticism when he posted a tweet saying he wish he'd been a truck driver for the last 10 years instead of a fighter, because at least then he'd have insurance to affordable health insurance, and he'd be able to afford a counselor. And a lot of websites have already run articles about this, proclaiming Lieben to be a casualty of the UFC's demand for exciting fighters. He certainly wouldn't be the first fighter to get into combat sports due to being a broken personality and already battling his own psychological and emotional demons. Levin has always made it clear that he's somewhat of a head case, making statements like, "I've spent most of the money I made fighting on drugs," so unfortunately it didn't come as a surprise to the MMA world when he seemed to have a moment of retiree's despair. In fact, he may have played into people's expectations about how he would adjust to life after an active UFC career, as his attempts to downplay the tweets since have been met with mixed results. Levin is now saying that the death of his dog made him upset, and that he said something he really didn't mean in reference to his fight career and being a truck driver. And I can understand, you know, the loss of a pet, which for many people feels like losing a family member. But I don't know. This is a real problem in the sport. It's a real reflection of how fighters are treated in the aftermath of their career. And everybody here at Carson's Corner sends their sympathy to Chris for the loss of his dog. As I said, losing a pet is always tough. But, I don't know that he made the right decision here by making this tweet. Talking to friends and family members is one thing, but would you really want to confide in the global internet community during a time of grief? Historically, that's never been a good idea, especially if you're someone with substance abuse problems and you tweet in a fashion that resembles a person drunk or on drugs, misspelling things and lashing out at perceived injustices. Just keep that stuff for your wife, Chris. She's literally obligated to listen to that stuff and support you by law. MMA websites, of course, are going to use this and have used this really for fodder. Okay, these headline-grabbing posts, and that's just what they do. But we here at Carson's Corner sympathize with any former MMA or UFC fighter now finding out that they have limited options in their retirement, which is why a lot of guys are retiring from the sport so young. Cole Conrad, Kyle Kingsbury, Luke Como, a number of different fighters. It's undeniable that the UFC's pay structure and fighter agreement make it very difficult to live in retirement, unless, of course, you curry favor with them and get their VIP positions like, Matt Hughes or Chuck Liddell. But what about harsh treatment of people like Chris Levin? One moment Dana White says he wants you to be throwing haymakers and going crazy and putting on a great show, and then he wants you to retire quietly. I think it's starting to catch up with him. I really do. But we'll have to see what's – because you have a lot of fighters now that are just coming out and saying this is unfair the way fighters are treated. You look at someone like Gilbert Melendez, who's having difficulty negotiating his contract with the UFC because he feels that they're not paying him what he's worth. And, if you got somebody like Gilbert Melendez that's struggling to get money out of the UFC, being one of the top fighters, the upper echelon of the sport, many people, including myself, felt that he beat Josh Thompson, beat Benson Henderson, and so on and so forth. And what do you think is happening to these guys, really, that do not have the star power? You've got someone like Bubba McDaniels, who fought the entire year last year, in the UFC, and wound up making $30,000. And that's not including taxes and the other associated fees with the sport. So it's just really, really a dire, dire situation where you have the average MMA fighter making, according to James Feng, documentary filmmaker, $11,000 a year. Okay, it's maybe Chris Levin would have been better as a truck driver. I don't know. It's just, then again, he desires to throw big leather and go crazy in front of crowds, which is great. It produces an emotional feeling, but in terms of longevity, in terms of stability, what is it all worth? Because, the UFC seemingly discards these guys after they're done fighting. It's really unbelievable. It really is. And, you know, again, Chris Lieben is a father. He's someone that I mentioned struggled with drug abuse. And now, you know, he has to deal with life post-UFC. And he's not a old guy. He's in, maybe he's in the early 30s. So this is the choices that fighters are going to have to make, okay? We'll have to see. We'll have to see how it works out. But I definitely feel bad for a guy like Chris Lieben. That's really, really unfortunate. What else? You got Nate Quarry criticizing the UFC. Lieben's fellow Ultimate Fighter castmate and Team Quest teammate, Nate Quarry, also recently spoke out about the UFC's fighter compensation. And this was planned remarks. This was, you know, these were remarks made from from an individual who will not take back his criticism and has been criticizing the UFC for quite some time now. Here's some of what he said. People have no clue from the outside what it's like to fight for the UFC. After spending 10 to 15 years chasing your dream, only to see that the company it's been your dream to fight for cares nothing about the fighters and only cares about the bottom line. Quarry mentions that he fought in a title fight on a show that did a gate of $3.5 million, the third highest gate up until that point. He got $10,000 to fight with no bonus for being knocked out in a title fight by Rich Franklin. He was rushed into. Does anyone out there feel that devastating knockout was worth whatever $10,000 minus coaching fees, expenses, the associated expenses I talked about would probably reduce to a few thousand? Does anybody in their right mind think that it's worth that? It's not like that fight set up the rest of Nate's career in any way. He was basically used as a challenger just to fill the void and give Franklin another showcase with the belt. Like Quarry said, the UFC holds all the cards. Now that they want to demand exorbitant fees from sponsors to even get a look in the door, that's another stream of revenue shut down for the fighters itself. And Nate Quarry actually laid out what it was like, you know, when he first started fighting for the UFC in terms of sponsors and how restrictive they became over a 10-year period. And the fact that there's even a debate about this, I mean, in the so-called MMA media, really, it just shows the continuance of this model here that the UFC has created, because really there shouldn't be any debate about UFC compensation. There shouldn't be any debate about the, you know, restrictiveness of UFC contracts and their limitations on sponsors and, you know, it ultimately ends up hurting the fighters. But yet, you know, you've got these media figures that are reliant on the UFC. They are dependent on access to UFC events and, you know, press conferences. And so that's the carrot. That's the carrot that the UFC dangles in front of their faces. And it's just, it's really unfortunate. You're not going to get any type of analysis on this, on these stupid shows on ESPN or, you know, HD TV or anywhere else, Spike or anywhere else that you see MMA on corporate-owned, corporate-driven news outlets. Because by and large, these same corporations rely on the same structure that the UFC is engaging in. You know, it's all part of the business model of businesses in America. And you know what's funny too is, you know, sometimes I'll listen to this the Sirius Fight Club radio, and these guys, you know, on the one hand, they criticize the pay structure, they criticize the practices of the UFC, and then on the other hand, the next breath that they talk about how, you know, this is just the market working its magic, and this is, you know, to be expected, and you got to work hard, and you got to, you know, the same crap that we hear as it pertains to our economic system, which it doesn't make any sense. You know, the idea that a fighter, even Gilbert Melendez's status, has the same leverage as the UFC, a multi-billion-dollar company that has, you know, 400 fighters in their roster and has deals with sponsors and networks and has connections to, you know, athletic. I mean, just you could just go down the line. It's not an equal playing field. One employee has the ability to significantly negotiate his wages with a company like the UFC. It's absolutely ridiculous. One way to level the playing field is the unionization of fighters, having a fighter association. You know, I've been following Rob Macy on Facebook. We're trying to get him on the show. I would like to get him on the show again. I don't know. He hasn't responded to me, my requests. But that's very important because ultimately that's what'll level the playing field out right there. If you have fighters banding together, just like in other sports, demanding a certain level of treatment from the organization. That's the only way because, you know, ultimately, I think that, you know, who knows how many fighters are up and coming, but right now, you don't have a lot of fighters. It's not like, you know, a workforce. It's not like a, you know, manufacturing plant or, you know, any type of industry where the amount of workers relative to the jobs that are available are just through the roof. This is MMA, you know. They're not that many MMA fighters out there that are competing and that could, you know, really decrease wages. So what I'm saying is that the UFC needs fighters. They need these people to fight in their organizations. And if they're going to be restrictive as they are continuing to be, and if it's going to get to the point where you have someone like Bubba McDaniel making $30,000 a year fighting a few times in the UFC, then no person in their right mind is going to go along with that. No person is going to want to get banged in the head and take all the abuse that they receive to fight for the UFC when it's not even worth it. It really isn't. And so that's what I would like to see. And speaking of which, now there's talk of UFC fighters having to wear an official UFC uniform in exchange for a stipend. That honestly sounds like a completely stupid idea, and I know that almost every fighter I've read a reaction from seems to hate it. Folks, you know I'm not into a lot of pro wrestling crossover. I don't want to see the sportative aspect of MMA get lost beneath ridiculous costumes, fake storylines, and other unnecessary stuff, but having all the athletes dressed the same is genuinely a horrible idea. Can that possibly be what the UFC is suggesting? I think his comments give a valid perspective on some of the issues that contribute to fighters like Lieben ending up in a less than desirable position after their careers are over. This is particularly frustrating. It really is because, you know, I've been calling out the UFC for years, and this is what happens when you go scorched earth against people who dare to disagree with you, folks. You ended up surrounded by yes men who can't help you improve your product when people become dissatisfied with certain aspects of it. By deliberately penalizing media figures for being outspoken, I think the UFC has ended up painting itself in a corner here, folks. That's what I was talking about before, where, you know, it's just how much can people take? It's really remarkable. I want to get to UFC 170 here before we turn it over to Dan Quinn. This matchup, Ronda versus Sarah, which is the main event for UFC 170, is one that hasn't been promoted well at all. I think they've rushed this as a way to keep Ronda in the spotlight and possibly getting some more value out of her before she gets lured away to do movies long term. I wonder if Gina Carano feels threatened in any way by Ronda's Hollywood potential, or if she's had enough of a head start in terms of projects completed and networking to continue creating her own market. But back to the fight. McMahon seems like a good person, and she's definitely a great athlete and a fighter with a lot of potential. But as a challenger for Ronda, no matter how I feel about either of them on a personal level, I just see this being too much too soon for her. Sarah, that is. I mean, I'm not saying McMahon isn't a formidable challenger, but in terms of her pure athletic ability, the most formidable challenger for Ronda so far, undoubtedly, but I just can't see it being anything other than a favorable stylistic matchup for Ronda, who I think also carries a huge edge in big fight experience. I mean, I could be wrong. Like I said, McMahon is a hell of a competitor and an Olympic silver medalist and a woman who has survived tragedy in her personal life multiple times. Her brother was murdered, I believe. I think her boyfriend was killed in a car accident when she was driving. But ultimately, I think Ronda, her judo attacks will be there to counter McMahon's shot. And I don't think Sarah has what it takes to trouble her on the feet. Let's face it, they're both relative beginners to the stand-up game, no matter what sort of ridiculous hyperbole you hear from Ronda or her weird boxing coach, although I think McMahon's stand-up might be a bit more basic. I think we'll probably get a fun fight out of it, maybe a little bit of drama involving the takedowns and the grappling McMahon brings to the table, but I'd say Ronda going for an armbar and getting it is the most likely outcome, and we'll have to see what happens. We'll have to see if Bob Carson is proven correct. All right, without further ado, let's get to my update with Dan Quinn. Like I said, we spoke to Dan on the 10th of February, 9 days ago, and here it is. Here is Dan Quinn.
One. Ladies and gentlemen, it is February 10th, 2014. It has been over 2 months since we spoke to the great Dan Quinn. He joins us here now on Carson's Corner. Dan, how are you, my friend?
You know what, Bob? When you pick up the phone, it makes me feel fantastic. I'm doing better than people that are homeless and hungry, and I'm still breathing. So how bad can I be doing,
Yeah.
I'd be doing a lot better.
Well,
fantastic news for me, Bob. Please.
Yeah, I just posted this on Facebook just tonight, as a matter of fact, and I was trying to get in touch with your mother to let her know that there is an independent filmmaker that wants to do a story, wants to do a film about the life of Dan Quinn. He's contacted me on Facebook, and he wants to know about you. So, yeah, I think that's a bit of good news.
Well, fantastic. Yeah, real quick, I got a paragraph to talk through. Let me get back to that.
Yeah.
Don Yeager, author extraordinaire, under the ton of stone, okay? Biggest story you like, Don, Dan Quinn, get back to it. Christina, exquisitely fine Aguilera, okay? Sitting and singing, she's absolutely, exquisitely beautiful. Christina, have you ever had 100 orgasms? Would you like to? Check with Joe Ichu in Worcester, Massachusetts regarding the violin. Kane Coulter, Northwestern quarterback, college players unionizing. Brilliant game. Have a scientist at Northwestern blend stevia and water. See water morph glass triple in size into what a exquisitely fine tasty and Roseville said was natural gas. Help me become a Nobel Prize winner and donate all the profits to the homeless and the hungry. Kim.com, internet wizard, help me help you into billionaire status. Clay Matthews, you're fast, Clay. I always wanted to be a Trojan, never wanted to wear one. I would like to spend, what, $50, $100, $200 million, Bob, apologizing USC for leaving and not becoming a Trojan. Urijah Faber, if you had hands, you could rule. Seriously, Bob, if Urijah Faber had hands, he could rule his own little world, couldn't he?
Absolutely. He's a great guy, and he's just lacking in a little skill, that's all.
Well, you know what? We'll get back to that in a second. The United Church of Christ, Reverend Jim Hansall's group, they've divested from fossil fuels, Bob. Reverend Jim, H14 plus C6 equals petroleum gas. That's actually flammable water, okay? Google it. And then times that by internal combustion engines, it equals global drought and eventually ending life as we know it on this planet. And Glenn Greenwald and David Miranda down in Buenos Aires, I believe. Glenn Greenwald. Homosexuality is a natural defense mechanism of any animal herd to prevent overpopulation, okay? And stevia, the
Yeah, you know, I'm not really familiar with, I've never heard of him before he contacted me, but, you know, he wants to do something on you. He wants to interview me, find out more about you. He says that you have a very, very interesting story and whatnot, and I don't know, you know, who else he can reach out to. There's a lot of people, I'm sure, you know, Riley or other people. I don't know his reach. I don't know if there's going to be a production company. I'm just kind of, I just found out about this a little while ago. So, his name is Joe Wayne, spelled W-A-I-N-E. He's out of New York, I believe, and that's really it.
Joe Wayne, contact Cedric Figaro in Louisiana somewhere. He's a high school football coach and if he told me after his rookie season with the Chargers, you're better than everybody that I play with on the Chargers, but since Holtz hates you, first I have to go up to Canada and wreck that league and come back down. And ask him if my response was, Diggs, if I wanted to play football, do you think I'd be at Notre Dame? I said, fuck football, only I'm quitting. I'm going to box, okay? I don't want to end up in prison for having coaches killed, all right? And that's it. I knew a couple criminals, like Mark Brannon. They made the movie Tequila Sunrise about him, all right? If I had been in the NFL, Bob, and I knew somebody, you've seen Tequila Sunrise, right?
No, I haven't seen it.
Okay, Bob. Well, you know what? If we're going to have any kind of relationship, you have to watch a lot of movies.
Yeah.
You can just talk about them and you know, fast forward to the chase. Anyhow, yeah, I would have been in prison, probably, because too many people were at and shit, and I would have had monster coaches killed, even though I would have been doing America a service.
Dan, the big news since we last spoke to you is that you've been assessed psychologically and found, unfortunately, incompetent by the second psychiatrist that you visited to stand trial, and you're being treated now at a mental health facility. And then
I'm still in jail, okay? I'm still withering away in jail. That's how they do it, okay? This is a way to further punish me, all right? If the DA had any case against me, they would have taken me to trial. If I was charged with murder, trust and believe they're taking me to trial. They're not sending me to Napa. And I haven't gotten an app yet. And the thing about it is I'm brilliant, okay? I do a lot of stupid fucking things, okay? My mouth gets me into trouble, constantly, okay? Saying stupid shit. Usually when I get mad, and basically it comes back to why men shouldn't be in charge of jack shit, anything, all right? Have you ever heard Christina Aguilera sing?
Yes.
How good is she?
Very good.
Very good. Like, exquisitely?
Yes.
Okay, I saw pictures of Christina in National Magazine, and I was like, oh my fucking God, she's exquisitely beautiful, all right? And I like what she said, and I was thinking it would be fantastic if her lover could pretend her G-spot was the yin and the yang, okay, press on both spots, inside and up, and on top of the belly, below the button, above the bone, touching tips, and then massaging in a violent action, and stimulating the clit, giving Christina Aguilera 100-plus orgasms if she wanted it, and then she could fast-forward that to all the other ladies on planet Earth, and it could make up for all the trillions of orgasms they deserve, but have been, penalized because guys just don't fucking have it in them. Yeah, that'd be perfect. And then she could take stevia running water into natural gas. Did you know that the water that you drink is actually hydrogen gas? Did you know that?
I believe so. I think you were mentioning this, yeah.
Okay, no. But before I mention anything, had you ever thought about water as a hydrogen gas?
No.
No. I mean, we know it's H2O, so there's two hydrogens plus one oxygen, all right? And it's water, and we drink it, and it's a gas supply of water. Before I Googled petroleum gasoline, I had no idea that it was 14H plus 6C, and that's basically hydrogen gas laced with a little petroleum to vaporize, combust, explode it into power, and then smog, gone forever, okay? And Bob, how many gallons, you personally, okay, how many gallons and cubic feet of bars of soap and detergent and liquid Drano and all the warning, tossing, danger, toxic, will kill you chemicals, do you think you alone in your life that poured down the sink in the drain?
Oh, God, unimaginable. I can't imagine how much.
I mean, you alone, probably, and this isn't blaming you. This is part of the little dynamic that the rich is set up. You've probably been over 100 gallons, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Times that 100 gallons, times 300 million American individuals, times the rest of the planet, okay? And that's why water level hasn't dipped so precipitously, okay? And people aren't going, oh, my God, where's all the water going, okay? I don't know if you've been paying attention, Bob, to the drought in California. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, it's serious business. You know, popular science has reported that in the last 80 to 100 years, America alone has lost enough water to fill Lake Erie 2 times, okay? That's serious, okay? Refer back to the internal combustion engine vaporizing water into dust. It's called smog. It's toxic, right, Bob?
Yep.
No good. Okay? Have you ever been on the freeway in the summer in congestion traffic?
Of course.
Okay? Was it dry? It was dry, right?
Yep.
Okay? If there was any even return, okay, from the back end of an automobile, summertime in Los Angeles would be really sticky, brown, and wet from all that toxic shit. But it's vaporized. There's a point of no return. I think it's a burn temperature. And Einstein was wrong. And Christina Aguilera, that's not fiction. E equals MC squared. It won a Nobel Prize, didn't it, Bob?
Yes.
Okay. Christina, stevia plus H2O plus E for energy equals split H2O natural gas plus pure H2O. And pure H2O is if you remove all that floating, toxic, crappy shit. You've seen it, Bob, right? Okay.
Yep.
You saw me make pure H2O. And
yep.
When you started drinking pure H2O, Bob, wasn't it in 22 days you lost 22 or 23 pounds?
Yes.
Okay. So if you would continue the regimen, you would be lean in the rip right now. Is that right?
I probably will be lower than what I am now. Remember the last time I spoke to you?
You're doing good. You're doing, you know what? Okay, you're an Aries, Bob. So you're actually starting to, like, really pay attention to how you look. You want to get fucking lean. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Where are you now? Last time you told me 275.
I'm about 270 now, about 5 pounds lighter.
Okay. In 2 months, 5 pounds, this is where it gets really tough.
Yes.
This is where everybody nationally, okay, what, 95% of the people say, fuck it. I'm just going to go back to what I was doing because I can't get over that fucking bump.
Yep.
Riley Pysock, 5150, please. Of course.
Hello? Yeah, you're breaking up, Dan. I can't make you out, man. Can you hear me now? I can hear you a little better now, but you were breaking up before.
Is your battery?
Nah, my battery's good. You there? Yeah. I can hear you okay. You're coming out kind of in and out there, buddy. You're out of time. You're not going to be able to call me back tonight or no?
Yeah, I'm calling back right now.
I'll be here.
Yeah, so anyway, Don Yeager, I was a weapon of mass fucking destruction. 6.5 sacks in the 86 spring game. NFL scouts saying, your first round, potentially high first round. And me turning my back on football, saying, fuck this, walking away because I didn't want to have monsters like Lucifer or Lou Holtz killed. another individual that's going to start taking it and prove it. Dang! Yeah, that's some big shit right there, son. It's going to be huge. Now, wait, what's your name, brother? Yeah, Kenny is,
thank you for using IC Solution.
Hello.
He's at Sacramento County Jail. To accept this call, press 5. To refuse this call, hang up now. To block this call. This call will be recorded and subject to monitoring at any time. Thank you for using IC Solution. You may begin speaking now.
Bob Carson.
Hey, Dan, I just got one question here before you get going. What's going on now? Are you going to plead your case in terms of being confident, or are you going to just, you know, accept the treatment and then get out of there as fast as possible?
You know what? I was going to take this trial, but my body started to fail. Remember how Peachy is cancer, just about to be put to sleep cat. I bring her back to 100% health. And then when she didn't have Stevie any longer, she was dead in 30 days, Bob.
Yep.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Uncle Bob, 6 tumors gone, 62 pounds gone, type 2 diabetes gone in 4 months, and then we had a little falling out, and I stopped making a carry H2O, and he ended up in the hospital, right, because that filthy toxic shit shocked his system. My body's starting to fail, and I want to plead, get the fuck out ASAP so I can get Stevie in my system, so I can hug my son, and so I can hug my dog. Yeah, I want to get home. In fact, if I had to, put it like this, that little fucking punk-ass bitch cop, okay, tell me, you know what, I was at your house when I raided it, he was telling me, fuck you, couldn't be choosing, got you now. It pissed me off, man. I'm a fucking beast, homeboy. When I'm pissed, I knock Taz the fuck out in front of all the Northerners and all the Oak Park Zilla Bloods, okay? Knocking the fuck out, okay? Stone cold. In fact, Taz, since you fucking threw a knife on video in front of everybody, and you're the only buddy that, he's the only person that didn't get fucking charged with a knife. Dude throws a knife on video, okay? I knock his ass out. He doesn't get charged with shit, and they charge me and my cellie, and they raid all the Northerners' fucking cells. And they get them in trouble. Can you imagine that shit? I'm thinking, wow, you know what? He has a lot of fucking protection coming from somewhere. But I'm a fucking beast, homie. When I'm pissed, I have to be pissed, okay? And that's why I had all the Northern Mexicans and all the fucking, take that back, not nothing, all the Zilla Bloods from Oak Park saying, Dan Quinn, chanting my name, you know what I'm saying? And I couldn't think of a better workforce, okay, a better way to acclimate them to the streets once they get out of prison. Bob, getting them a job, working for a company that's funded by Pure H2O. What do you think?
Yeah. Dan, do you regret not being able to upload videos? I mean, some of the moments you're describing are absolutely incredible there. It's really remarkable that we can't see anything.
Well, it's too bad that you couldn't see me knocking Taz out because, that would have gone viral. Yeah, too bad. This Kane Coulter thing, okay? He's a quarterback at Northwestern. Northwestern, very, very smart, okay, unless you're a football player and then they just let you win, right? But you ever heard that you wanted the unionized college players? Have you heard that, Bob?
Yes.
Okay. Good ideas, okay? We're 27 years out, but, you know, the most taken advantage workforce in the world. Okay, generating billions of dollars and getting a free education when athletes at Notre Dame did the numbers, and if we worked for minimum wage, we could have paid for our tuition plus had a couple hundred dollars left over, okay? Not giving a shit. Anyhow, yeah, Kane Coulter, you know, great idea. Play the violin on your girlfriend, all right? And when her pelvis lifts up off the bed and attacks your face because your fingers are up, and inside to the bottom of the G-spot, and the other fingers now, instead of grabbing her ass or grabbing her nipples, okay, they're pressing down on her belly, below the button, just above the pubic bone, feeling the inside fingers, and in a violent action, okay, almost like the yin and the yang, the G-spot, pressing on both dots, massaging, all right, took a woman that had been raped and could only have had maybe 2 orgasms in 2 hours, if she was lucky, okay? I told her that I was going to wear her the fuck out, and I did, okay? Triple digits. She had to take breaks every 15 or so minutes. Yeah, that's why Joe H.U. in Worcester, Massachusetts renamed the violin the Levitator Box. I told you that, right?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Dan, I got an email here. Dave Huckabee, this comes from Flashman 453. Dave Huckabee just fought recently on national TV and knocked out Ray Suffo in what was described as a reminiscent of your Bon Lapua destruction. Anyway, Huckabee is now an MMA star, and you're sitting in jail, according to Flashman 453. My question is this: how many teeth have you lost? Your skin is basically grotesque and sliding off last year, so I'd imagine after 1 year in the clink, you're looking fairly bad, homeboy. Why hasn't anyone bonded you out? And we, yeah, I don't want to repeat all this other stuff, but...
Okay, it's like this. The little guy that's fucking sucking Dave Huckabee off because he's a little bitch. It's like this. When I tell Dave on video, hey, Dave, guess what? My shoulder's fucked up. I'll still fight you standing up if you don't take me to the ground. Dave grew pussy lips, motherfucker, and flew away like a bitch. Remember that video box you see it? Where Dave Huckabee... You know, this is MMA, baby. We can't.
Yeah.
Okay? I'll tell you straight up. I tell him, you know what? My shoulder's fucked up, but you don't faze me, motherfucker. I've seen you fight. You got nothing. Oh, and guess what, Dave Huckabee? I was talking to... Hey, Brad. What's the homeboy's name is Dave Huckabee? There's a dude that fucking was trying to tell me that he fucking quote, knows Dave Huckabee. Was in a gym.
Hey, what's that new name that knows Dave over there? Kitty? No, not Kitty Ritchie. The dude that knows Dave Huckabee. He's still 400. No, you 400 pod. The dude that knew Dave Huckabee. He was right next to me, bud.
Anyway, yeah, this dude, he's cool as fuck, and he was telling me that Dave Huckabee was going, why do you guys always beat up on me, you know? It didn't have fucking, I mean, Dave doesn't have nothing, okay? And you know what? When I fucking get released, I'll fucking fight Dave in a stand-up only fight. The first fucking week that I'm out, I'm going to get Spawn, Stevia, I'm going to get fucking the Stevia and weed together, okay?
Huh?
His name is Kenny. He's cool as fuck. He had a big brother, Kenny Gist. Kenny Gist is what it is. And Kenny Gist was telling me that fucking Dave was wanting, why you guys always fucking beat up on me? It's my name that's on the fucking gym, you know? So yeah, Dave, your fucking boy sent in his fucking question to Bob Carson. Oh, was that floodgate? So I'll fuck you up, Dave, okay? Jamie Hanna rolled with me on the ground, couldn't cat me out, and he looked at Mike Rousey, somebody goes, Dave better not fuck with Quinn on the ground, okay? You couldn't do a fucking thing with me, Dave, okay? You weren't put together at birth like me, homeboy, okay? You might be doing things now because you fucking have a lot of people in fucking real end that suck your fucking nuts. You ain't shit to me, homeboy. Hey, Dave, guess what? You feel that, Bob?
Yeah.
When Jerry H2O, okay, a liquid that fucking... does my uncle, okay, brings Peachy back from, I mean, well, seriously, Bob, the cat, 17 years old, that's 119 human years, okay, sneezing blood bubbles because a tumor in the throat burst, 106, bedridden, pissing it, can't get the fuck off, okay, she laughs, tuna fish, pure H2O, shakes, into perfect health, and now we have to fucking glue the kitty door down because she's going outside at night exploring, okay, you think that one day might generate a little mind when it catches up?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you what, Dave, how tough would it be to use a little money to make people around you that can't stand you, okay, make your life better and fuck your shit off, straight up, okay?
Hey.
I've heard from people in fucking Relinda that don't like you at all, homeboy, because you think your fucking shit doesn't stink. You're better than everybody, okay? Guess what, son? When I was fucking at Notre Dame, if I don't quit football, you've seen the play, Bob, right?
Yes.
Okay. People say, what, it's like in the top 2-3 plays of all time, okay? Dave, do you think they would have had to fucking order you to fucking stay home and look for a sweet motherfucker, okay? Couldn't
time, okay, could you cover millionaire running backs in the NFL before they got there? Shut them down so they couldn't catch a fucking goddamn pass in practice, homeboy. Could you do that? No, I don't think so. You weren't built like me, and I'm going to use some money, and I'm going to fuck your shit up, okay?
Dan, I got another question. This is very important. It comes from Scott Brett Rogers. Can you talk a bit about the guy you were with when you're arrested? Reverend Paul is what he calls himself, but he's been putting out videos on his own lately, and several people are reporting that he has they've watched the videos and he might have set you up. What is your opinion on that?
Wow, really? It wouldn't surprise me at all, okay? I mean, in fact, I deliver a fucking hamburger in a white McDonald's bag, okay, because he's hungry. And then the cop who says that, you know, I was at your house and raided it, says that you looked over and there was a white bag, okay, and it's training, okay. It tells him that it could be, you know, such and such and such. And it's like, you know what, this is a fucking setup from the get-go, and it's cool, okay. Let the chips fall as they may.
Will you reestablish your friendship with Reverend Paul when you get out?
Why? I let him. Okay, he did me a favor. He took Kalani, okay, when I got arrested.
Right.
And the next thing I hear is that Kalani's gone, but she found her way to my house because that fucking dog is so fucking smart, okay? That's what Rob Clifton told me.
Yeah.
This is like the smartest dog there is, okay? She found her way home. No reason to fucking to reestablish the friendship with Reverend Paul. Nothing in it for me, I don't think.
What about Kalani? How is she doing? And you know, what happened to her now that you've been locked up for so long?
My boys are taking care of her. Put it like this. It would be hard, and I don't want to get into that. They're taking great care of her. She's an easy dog, man. She doesn't fucking shit. I mean, she's like the most exquisite dog that I had ever seen. And I didn't want her. I wanted her puppies. But you know what? God took Ross, and it is what it is. Back to Don Yeager. Don, seriously, you've been a lot of books, okay? Notre Dame. Kiki, okay, Bob, this is the timeline at the end of winning Notre Dame. I make one of the fucking best plays in the history of the game, okay? Number 37 on the same play, Don Yeager, okay? Dave Butler. Ask him if before the season he came to my room with a case of beer and a fifth of Jack to apologize for playing in front of me, because everybody on the fucking team knew that I was a beast, man. I was a fucking weapon of mass destruction, dude. Seriously, Bobby, do you know football at all?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, if I'm 6'3", 235 pounds, and I'm a fucking lightning bolt, and I'm putting people out of practice for concussions, okay, do you think I might be able to take over the fucking passing zone, the passing lanes, and knock the fuck out of receivers so they don't even want to come across the middle?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I could have taken over, okay? Don Yeager, talk to Cedric Figueroa, number 48, okay? Tell me that I was better than everybody that played with it, you know, San Diego, okay? Bob, here's a question. A guy that supposedly, I was told that I was a first-round pick. Okay. Walking away from football. Isn't that a big story?
Yeah.
Hey, fuck it. I'm done. Lou Holtz, I guarantee you that if I had played football, you're dead. Straight up. If I play football, Bob Carson, Lou Holtz is already KIA, okay? He's buried, and his miserable fucking shit isn't fucking anybody else over ever again. But could I have gotten away with it and not gone to prison for the rest of my life? Maybe, maybe not, okay? Jerry Sandusky, Bob, do you think that he deserves death sentence?
Yes.
Oh, definitely. Okay, definitely. Got it? I mean, I was offered a trip to Penn State. I turned it down. Okay, we can make a movie. They make movies about stupid shit all the time. That I did take that trip, and I heard about Jerry Sandusky, and then I talked with my friends, and we murdered him, okay? Got him the fuck out of the way. Do you know how many monsters there are that are coached for?
1 minute remaining.
1 minute, Bob. 1 minute. And then I'm done. If you can get with this guy that wants to make a movie, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Stevia is the cure. It also turns water into a natural gas. I think with these electric engines that Tesla's coming out with, right, they actually have the technology to
fall. The drought is going to continue to get worse and worse, Christina Aguilera. It's not going to get better. There's how many engines burning petroleum gas around the planet, Bob? Billions?
Yes.
Okay? Yeah. It's going to continue to get worse and worse and worse, and that's how they're going to reduce the human population by two-thirds, okay? They're going to kill all the water. They have it stored up so they can ride it out, okay? And I want my sons to get a lot of water and get a lot of ramen soups, okay, so they can ride it out with them, flat out.
Thank you for using IC Solutions. Goodbye.
Many questions we have as we grow. It's hard to find answers to what we don't know. But sometimes there's someone to whom we can turn to teach us life's lessons, help us to learn just what's important and what matters most. Much more than our teacher, and we call them coach. Right there to guide us when we need a hand. They reach deep inside us and help us to stand, to lead by example in words and in deeds, and show us the courage we need to succeed. And I stand before you, I'm proud to boast, I'm one of the many who's learned from the coach. To never surrender your hopes or your wisdom, courage, and kindness is how you measure a soul. The road that you travel, the choices you make, the load that you carry, the chances you take. Our blessings and offer this toast to one who will always be known as the coach, to one who will always be known.
I'm Andrew Craig. I'm an investigative reporter and attorney based in Washington, and I've the author of Presidential Puppetry, Obama, Romney, and Their Masters. And I want to encourage everyone to support, listen to, and talk about the Carson's Corner show in New Jersey, which is a pioneering, courageous, and apt voice for progressives in New Jersey that I first came to know in 2009, when he was the pioneering and virtually unique media outlet willing to take on Chris Christie, dig deep, and look at how he had come to power and how he was misusing it. And 4 years, 5 years later here, that's all come to pass.
We're back here on Carson's Corner on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Bob Carson, and big thanks to Dan Quinn for providing us that update. And again, we're still trying to find out whether or not Dan Quinn was released from Sacramento County Jail today. We will find out. As soon as we know, you'll know. And one thing that was kind of interesting during that update is Dan Quinn saying that if he were playing football, Lou Holtz would be dead, KIA. I don't know what that means. You know, I really don't know exactly what was Dan's intention with you know, what he was talking about there. But, you know, hopefully that doesn't get construed as any type of a threat against Lou Holtz. I don't think it is, but sometimes when you're on the phone with Dan, sometimes some of the things he says could kind of go past you, and that's what happened there, and I just was kind of alarmed by that. But in any event, we're almost out of time here. Just some quick comments here and quick ways to tell you how you could follow the show. Facebook.com/BobCarsonMMA. You could also like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/Carson's Corner. You can follow us on Twitter at Twitter.com/BobCarsonMMA. And, of course, follow us here on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/Carson's Corner for all my shows, both MMA and political. Very, very important stuff here on Blog Talk Radio. You've got, of course, UFC 170 coming up. I'm looking at some video of Sarah McMahon, who's actually, I'm kind of attracted to her. I don't know what it is. I love female grapplers, female wrestlers. I really do. She, of course, is going to be fighting Ronda this week. And you know what's interesting is that Ronda actually admitted in an interview that she will not be able to take Sarah down. So if that is the case, then what type of a fight do we have with, you know, their stand-up basically almost being the same? Although, as I mentioned earlier, Ronda's boxing coach is saying that Ronda is dropping champion boxers in the ring with body shots. I don't know. You know, Ronda's last fight versus Misha, she didn't really look that good with her stand-up. I didn't really see a noticeable improvement. You know, and so I guess we'll just have to see. You also got Daniel Cormier versus Patrick Cummings. And this is a fight that I don't think a lot of people are excited about. Of course, Daniel Cormier was supposed to fight Rashad Evans. Rashad Evans is now undergoing knee surgery. And this guy, Patrick Cummings, who's 4-0, hasn't fought inside the UFC, is getting the shot because he was a former training partner of Daniel Cormier and supposedly made Cormier cry or something like that during one of their training sessions, which is just ridiculous. But it's not the first time that Daniel Cormier's fought a training partner. You recall Deion Starring in Strikeforce fought Daniel, and that was Daniel didn't really look that good in that fight. I think he got a late third round or second round stoppage, or it might have been a decision. I can't remember. That was a few years ago. But, you know, that's really it. Just plagued by injuries, this card. It really has been. But we'll have to see what happens, and it should be interesting. Anyway, I'm out. Thank you very much for listening. And until next time, ladies and gentlemen, show some respect.